New Pentagon statements on ATIP and UFOs? Yes. They want you to believe that there's nothing new in there, that it's all just put together from past statements. But you know what? There's one little nugget that made the entire effort to get it worthwhile. And it was an effort that stretched well over a year, not only by myself, but numerous other media outlets and journalists and bloggers that have been pushing for answers. And they're finally here. What's it say? I'm not sure if it gives more clarity or confusion, but we're about to dissect it together. Stay tuned. You're about to journey inside the Black Vault. That's right, everybody. As always, thank you so much for tuning in and taking this journey inside the Black Vault with me. I'm your host, John Greenwald Jr. And originally, when I was going to do this video, I was just going to do kind of a short quick blast, as they're called on this channel, just to kind of update you guys on the new Pentagon statement that just was released on Friday. Now, I call it new. It's mostly a cobbled together bigger statement of things that we've heard about before, except one section that I believe is the biggest revelation out of it all. I'll get into that in a minute. But when planning for the video and thinking, okay, I need to revisit this and revisit that, I did so to kind of refresh my own memory and realize, you know what? There is so much here, a lot of which that we haven't talked about in a year or two, and stuff that I even forgot about. So I thought, you know what, let's just do a full show, a full video, break everything down. What do we know from the statement? What don't we know? And where are we at this point? So in the planning now for that, I realized, man, this is going to be a couple videos. So stay tuned, because maybe there'll be a few that are going to drop here in the next week or so with this, what I would call revelation. Now, what I want to break down for you guys is this statement. As I mentioned, it's kind of this cobbled together over the last couple of years. They've released smaller statements, so they cobbled them all together to make this much larger one and added some additional information. It seems to be yet another example on the side of the Pentagon for flip-flopping. Flip-flopping in the sense that they say one thing 1 year, and then a year or two later, kind of go back on it, change it, or so on and so forth. Do they admit to doing that? No. When I had written a story, I was not actually aiming for them to change a UFO statement from the past. However, in conversation, it came up that when they originally told the New York Post, yes, ATIP was UFO or UAP related, that obviously flip-flopped from statements prior saying, no, it didn't. In the course of conversation on another story I was writing, she said, by the way, you know, essentially, and I'm paraphrasing there, but essentially that statement was wrong and they had corrected it and said ATIP did not deal with UFOs or UAP and they were not UFO or UAP related. So there's been a lot of these types of issues where they have flip-flopped. So that's why I titled this, it did, it didn't, okay, it kind of did, and that will make a little bit more sense here in a few moments. Will this add clarity or confusion? And that's kind of something that I don't have the answer to. I'm here to kind of make this video, dissect everything. I'll let you guys decide on whether or not the Pentagon is being more clear with everything, or if they are just muddying the water and causing much more confusion. That to me is a more common theme that I'm leaning towards from a personal standpoint, that may be by design. I wrote that in the article that I dropped today, but also I will say it to you here. I mean, maybe that is the pure and absolute intent with this mess on the side of the Pentagon talking about UFO and UAP related issues. Now, if you could believe it, the root of this statement, what I believe is this statement, is what Susan Goff has told quite a few different mainstream media journalists and people that have written her, that they were working on creating a more in-depth statement on ATIP. So in preparation for that, I'd created a page on my site thinking that that was going to come in a week or 2 weeks, maybe even a few months. It didn't matter that it was coming. So I had everything set on the Black Vault ready for that. And if you could believe it, goes back to February of 2020. And this was not released until May 21st, 2021. So well over a year after that rumor started. And in fact, that was just when I created the page. That rumor was already, I think, a month or two old, if not longer. So this is a big thing in the making on the side of the Pentagon. But again, a lot of it is stuff we've gone over. Now, for the audio version of this, I am going to read the entire thing to you. You guys know that I'm not a huge fan of just sitting here reading, but I think it's important for the audio version to hear the entire statement. But also, it's a great refresher because I looked back. Some of this information were in statements that I got back in 2018 when I was pressing the Defense Intelligence Agency when they were actually still talking about ATIP. Now, it's all transferred to Susan Goff and the Pentagon, and she is the only person that responds to UAP and UFO inquiries. So here's the statement. The purpose of the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program was to investigate foreign advanced aerospace weapon system applications with future technology progressions over the next 40 years and to create a center of expertise for advanced aerospace technologies. The goal was to help understand the threat posed by unconventional or leap-ahead aerospace vehicles and technologies that could have national security implications for the United States. The program commenced in the fiscal year 2008, with $10 million appropriated in the Defense Supplemental Appropriation Act. DIA awarded a contract to a sole bidder, Bigelow Aerospace Advanced Space Studies, LLC. The contract was known as the Advanced Aerospace Weapon System Applications Program, or you'll hear me say AWSAP. The contract goal was to study 12 technical areas: lift, propulsion, control, armament, signatures reduction, materials, configuration, power generation, temporal translation, human effects, human interface, and technology integration. The contractor identified and worked with academics and scientists to produce technical reports. In developing the reports and exploring how to create a, quote, center of expertise, the contract allowed for research drawn from a wide variety of sources, including reports of UAPs. However, the examination of UAP observations was not the purpose of ATIP. I'm going to stop there. The statement keeps going, and I'm going to continue reading it. That is the bingo paragraph there, or at least line or two. That is the essentially the best out of this entire thing, because everything that I read to you up until what is highlighted there in yellow, for those watching the video, that was all rehashed of statements from the last couple of years, none of which has really changed, modified a little bit here and there, but the core of it had always remained the same. What's in yellow there is the new material. That is the stuff that made me go, hey, wait a minute. This goes against what the Pentagon has said, but then they took it back and then they said it again. And they can't at this point. I'm curious if they can even keep the story straight. But that was the most important aspect to this. So I wanted to take a moment and at least drill into that particular part, and I'll revisit it in a few moments. But that to me was the biggest part of that. What was very interesting to me was that when I was sent this, and I was not the only one, I don't want to give any impression that this was crafted solely for me and it's an exclusive statement. Quite on the opposite. This was actually forwarded to quite a few different journalists and bloggers and so on. I don't know the whole list. I do know that Roger Glasl from Sweden had received it yesterday. He and I had talked kind of behind the scenes, and I told him, I said, look, I'm planning on writing something as well, but I had held off because I knew that he was writing something, and I didn't want to just kind of like make it a race or anything. So I held off, and I said, hey, whenever you publish your article, you let me know. And then mine was written yesterday. When I woke up this morning, Roger in Sweden, obviously much time difference there. It kind of went up, I think at like 4 a.m. my time, something like that. And thankfully it was Saturday. My alarm bell didn't go off at 4 a.m. like it usually does. And so I saw that he had published it. I let it kind of sit so people could talk about his article first. Published mine. That's what you saw today. Or if you didn't, it's in the show notes. So this is something that was given to all sorts of people and journalists. I do know a couple other colleagues of mine were also sent this. The root of it, though, from what I understand, goes to another media outlet. So they created this to kind of just blanket statement to anybody asking about ATIP. They just go, here you go. And they have this really big, essentially, statement that they can just reference to anybody who is asking. The other part of this that I will note that I thought was interesting, when I was given this, it was kind of, it wasn't in an official statement, but in the email when this was sent, that there was nothing new, that essentially it was just a cobbled together statement of everything that they've released. And that nothing new threw me off, because this part in yellow, I've looked everywhere. I've never seen this and don't recall it. And in fact, they've tried very hard to correct this to say that UAPs and UFOs were unrelated to ATIP. So anyway, a quick side story there, but that is the background to this statement and who has received it, and it's a rather large list. So continuing to read from the Department of Defense, the first 26 reports were completed by late 2009. The Defense Appropriations Act for fiscal year 2010 included an additional $12 million for the program, and 12 additional reports were produced. A total of 38 technical reports were delivered. The list is below. All of the reports are either classified or marked for official use only. Only a few have been released to the public. After a review in late 2009, it was determined that the reports were of limited value to the Defense Intelligence Agency. The department terminated ATIP when funding for the program ended in 2012. The statement also went on to talk about the UAP Task Force, or UAPTF. This is what they said: ATIP versus UAP Task Force. The UAPTF is not a continuation of ATIP. Since the majority of reporting about UAP observations in recent years came from naval aviators, the Department of Navy has been leading assessments of UAP incursions into DoD training ranges and designated airspace since approximately 2018. Beginning in 2019, DoD undertook efforts to formalize the good work done by the Navy for the Department of Defense. Former Deputy Secretary Norquist approved the establishment of the UAPTF on August 4th, 2020. So they're trying to clearly differentiate between ATIP and the UAP Task Force with this particular statement. So what their aim and goal is, your guess is as good as mine, but obviously I think they're probably getting a lot of questions asking whether or not the task force is just that continuation of a UAP program, which obviously they say it is not. One thing I want to do now is revisit that statement. I'm not going to read it again to you, but rather just cite different sections, but talk about the evidence to support what the Pentagon is either trying to say or where there's lack of evidence. Because these types of statements, albeit are very helpful, they can also create a lot of confusion as well. And the aim is ultimately we want clarity, but sadly we get confusion. So I wanted to kind of revisit a few areas, in particular the beginning when they talked about the purpose of ATIP and how it was to investigate foreign advanced aerospace weapon system applications and so on and so forth. What's interesting about that is the language from the Advanced Aerospace Weapon System Applications Program bid solicitation. So the very public and still reachable today. You got to go on Wayback Machine. But this was all posted in public. This in 2008 was sent out for people to bid on to win the contract to get the funding from the U.S. government, namely the Defense Intelligence Agency, and create these reports and this information that, again, was looking at projections over 40 years. That was OSAP. But what's key here is that it seems like the Pentagon is just lumping together ATIP and OSAP as kind of being the same thing. Interestingly, when John McCain asked about this many years ago, that letter has been released by the Defense Intelligence Agency. He asked about ATIP and he got the reports that were made under OSAP. So it kind of seems like they just feel that it is the same program. And that's backed up by the documentation, because, again, McCain asked about ATIP. He never asked about OSAP. And in reply, the DIA said, yeah, here's everything that we created. And it was all the stuff that was done under OSAP. So in their eyes, I feel like they consider it very much the same program, to where Luis Elizondo has gone out of his way to say they are not. That OSAP was essentially operated by his predecessor. And even the other day on Twitter did a tweet about this. I'm not sure what sparked it. I may have missed something that may have rubbed him the wrong way, that maybe somebody said he was the director of OSAP or whatever. So I'm not really sure the core of it, but he had tweeted out rather sternly that he was not the director of OSAP, that he was the director of ATIP, and that all of that credit goes to his predecessor, which he has never named. I have a guess on who that is, but out of respect, I'm not going to start blasting his name. But Luis Elizondo, again, made reference to a predecessor along with Bass. So he wants to clearly differentiate between the two programs and how they were different. I'd love to know what the core of that motivation was to create the tweet. If you guys know, put it in the comments. Let me know if I missed something. So back to some of the supporting evidence, just again, as a little bit of a refresher to what has come out in the last couple of years. The section of their statement about $10 million in 2008 to create the reports, this was a document that was flashed on screen by George Knapp in one of the many stories that he's done. Obviously, George has great sources when it comes to this kind of stuff. He's been able to come out with quite a few different reports and letters that nobody had seen before, been able to do stories on them. This particular document, I don't believe he's ever released in full, but they used it as a graphic. And this was essentially the awarded amount of money, I assume then for 2008, for fiscal year 2008, that was going to Bass. And you can see here $10 million, which absolutely coincides with the Pentagon statement. So those two very much match up. As you recall, it was noted that it was $22 million total. Well, there was 12 additional million dollars that were sent, 10 plus 12, 22 million. So that all kind of matches up and coincides with each other as documented by evidence and what was reported originally by the New York Times. That's all, again, maybe just too much information, but from an information standpoint, and especially an investigative one, you need all of that and the pieces of the puzzle to start matching up. So in that regard, it seemed like it matched up. The part about the 12 technical areas, lift, propulsion, control, armament, that whole list that the Pentagon stated was the goal of ATIP, that is language that is, again, taken directly out of the OSAP program. So that the publicly available information backs up everything that they say. But again, they are 100% combining ATIP and OSAP here, meaning the Pentagon. Why are they doing that? Well, to them, it may have ultimately been the same. So there's a huge discrepancy there. People were involved, mainly Luis Elizondo say they were different. I should also point out Dr. Hal Puthoff, he actually sides with the Pentagon on this one. He states that OSAP and ATIP were the same. ATIP was simply a nickname. So those are the types of discrepancies from an investigative standpoint that do mean something. They sound silly and it's like, oh, you're just nitpicking. But when you really start to, again, this leads into litigation also, FOIA litigation, going after these records, all of these statements, since they don't coincide with each other, can absolutely be very problematic in situations like that, as the general public, myself included, are requesting information which may ultimately go to an appeal process or litigation. So we have a lot of discrepancies there on the relationship between OSAP and ATIP. The section about the 26 reports in 2009 and then the 12 additional ones the next year, after a review in late 2009, it was determined that the reports were of limited value to the Defense Intelligence Agency. So 2009 seemed to be a very key year. $10 million in 2008, $12 million in 2009. They reviewed it at the end of 2009 and said, this is worthless. This is something that is not worthwhile to us, meaning the Defense Intelligence Agency. So they wanted to wash their hands of it. I have had an open request for years on what that review entailed and what it documented, but regardless, that has been a stance of theirs going back to, I think I first got that in the beginning of 2018 from the Defense Intelligence Agency, when they said this is why we stopped doing the OSAP/ATIP contract, was it was of limited value. That year is also key in 2009, because just months prior, we don't know exactly how much, but this would be mid-2009. According to the Pentagon, the review was late 2009. Harry Reid was getting involved. This is his letter that he tried to get ATIP SAP status. Now, I've done a whole video based on this letter. It is intriguing. There are many interesting elements to it, and I won't repeat them all here, but just kind of putting it a little bit into chronological order here, 2009, seemingly something was going on, you know, and Reid gets involved, which is pretty unorthodox for a senator to do that, gets involved, tries to get SAP status. It was reported that it was denied. However, the response letter was not found with the Department of Defense when I requested it and essentially fought for years to try and get it. They can't find the response, but they, after telling me they couldn't find this letter either, have finally said, yes, we did find it. It is still being reviewed. It may ultimately be redacted in some areas. Who knows? Because this is a leaked document. Who knows what will ultimately come out of that? But I did do that huge report that has a heck of a lot of detail on this letter. But that was 2009. This is a slide from Luis Elizondo's presentation that he gave to MUFON. Now, why I wanted to bring this up was this is talking about the 2009 timeframe, but also 2010 through 2012. So essentially, enter stage left, Luis Elizondo, he comes into play and takes over at OSD. So let me go through this slide. 2008 through 2009, preliminary results are broad and promising, including vast amounts of data collection and analysis. 2009, congressional letter sent to DOD leadership requesting program status be upgraded to better protect the data and sensitive results due to the nature of the effort and likelihood of counterintelligence threat. 2009, specific elements in DOD resist the effort based on philosophical differences. The fact that the phenomena is real is not denied. 2010 through 2012, ATIP moves under OSD rather than DIA. So according to Mr. Elizondo, that 2010 mark was when ATIP transfers over to OSD, and he then starts to become the director and lead this ATIP effort investigating UFOs. What's very, very weird, which has not really been addressed, is again that Pentagon statement that talks about ATIP and OSAP as a whole, that they're essentially the same thing, and that they awarded the $22 million over those two fiscal years. What happened in 2010 to 2012? Now, again, we have Luis Elizondo's testimony. He was out there. He's investigating UFOs even well beyond 2012 into 2017 when he retired. So we have that. But on the side of the DOD and the Pentagon, those 2 years are completely absent from any of their statements. They really just don't talk about it. They always refer back to the reports, the 38 DIRD reports that were referenced earlier, and that's it. So for 2 whole years, how much money went into that in addition to the $22 million that funded Bass's involvement? How much money went into that, and what happened? And that is a complete hole that I don't think a lot of people deal with. So you have these gaps in the timeline of what essentially happened. So when you take that program from DIA and you put it over to OSD, and then again, enter Luis Elizondo takes over the program, what happened? And that's something that the DOD just has not touched yet. And I'm not really sure why. If it stayed without UFO involvement, that's fine, but at least say something. And it seems like that's just a 2-year gaping hole that they have never, ever touched. Moving on, that part about the UAP task force, that obviously all checks out for those who pay attention. On August 14th, 2020, they released that press release that you see on your screen here, that the Department of Defense established a unidentified aerial phenomena task force. So obviously very much unfolding right now. There's a lot of roadblocks when it comes to the UAPTF, where a lot of it is classified, or so they claim from the spokespeople. I always say challenge accepted, because through FOIA, sometimes you get very different results. But of course, going back to that bingo sentence, or sentences rather, in developing reports and exploring how to create a center of expertise, the contract allowed for research drawn from a wide variety of sources, including reports of UAPs. However, the examination of UAP observations was not the purpose of ATIP. I read it a couple times through this video, but for a reason, because they have been so weird about this, about admitting that UFOs or UAPs had anything to do with ATIP or OSAP. Now, this is where I kind of get myself in trouble with some people, because they don't like me saying these two words, which is sweetheart deal. As we know, Harry Reid, who spearheaded getting the funding, which ultimately turned out to be at least $22 million. He spearheaded getting the funding for a longtime friend. There's no disputing any of that, that Robert Bigelow and Harry Reid have not only known each other for a long time, but Robert Bigelow has a history of donating to Harry Reid's past campaigns. Does that play a role in this? I would say yes. Is a sweetheart deal accusation completely destroying or dismissing any UFO or UAP data that came out of the program? No. And that's what people don't understand with me bringing up sweetheart deal, is that that doesn't negate what they found, but it puts into proper context to understanding all of this muddy water. So a lot of theories out there have said, well, once this goes into the private sector, it's totally off limits and it's hiding from the FOIA. That drives me nuts, because that's not true. I have a stack of Bigelow Aerospace emails that I obtained through the Freedom of Information Act that disproves that. Of course, there will be elements once things go into the private sector that will remain off limits to FOIA. I've never have argued that. Being fully invisible, That's a farce, because there has to be deliverables. There has to be something in return. Take OSAP, for example. They had to create those reports. That's essentially a deliverable. So here, Bigelow Aerospace, here's $22 million. Bigelow Aerospace says, okay, here, DIA, here's 38 reports. And that's it. That's a contract. Those are your deliverables. So you're going to, throughout that time frame, have communications. You're going to have a program manager that is on DIA side, and you're going to have people in Bigelow Aerospace's side that are the program leads. In this case, it would be Dr. Hal Puthoff, or at least that's what he has said, and nobody's ever disputed that. Between DIA and BASS, you're going to have those communications. Of course, I can't FOIA BASS or Bigelow Aerospace, but you can on the DIA side, and you can get those communications. You can FOIA any journalist's emails. Not for any other reason other than you can FOIA an agency and their communications with, let's say, the New York Times. I have a video on this channel that talks about that. And you can see how those communications take place, because the moment you write a letter in, it's public record. It just is. It's not classified, and it comes up in a government system, ergo subject to the Freedom of Information Act. So that whole allegation that it's completely off limits, get that out of your mind, because it's provably false. So a lot of this information, in my opinion, will come out eventually when it comes to communications and what Bass was really doing. Where the confusion is, going back to the sweetheart deal thing, is it is possible that, yes, Harry Reid wanted to do his friend a bit of a favor. I'm sorry, but that happens in politics. If anybody doubts that, just open the history books. But maybe he wanted to do him a favor and, in the same respect, start tackling something that they both had an interest in. As Bigelow Aerospace would get this money, they had the deliverables that they had to fulfill. That's what you see in the 38 reports. Many people have noted, wait a minute, there's a lot of this that doesn't have anything to do with UFOs. But of course, there's like a random one about Drake equation, and then another one with human effects on tissue and stuff like that. Those were kind of the wild cards. Everything else was exactly what the OSAP language was asking for. So getting that money over to Bigelow achieved two things. Yes, that sweetheart deal, they happen. But in addition, satisfying the curiosity of not only Robert Bigelow, who we know has a lifelong interest in this, but Senator Harry Reid as well, who has said numerous times that he has been interested in this topic for a very long time. So fulfill what you can for OSAP, but take that money and let's go investigate UFOs. Because in a broader spectrum, this could have been the segue for more money and a different contract. Essentially, and this is a guess, but it makes sense that Bigelow Aerospace would take that money, fulfill the contract, funnel some of that money into UFO UAP research, or werewolves and ghosts and whatever else people want to claim OSAP was, which, you know, that's a totally different gripe of mine in itself. I don't buy it, but let's say that he decided to do that. The idea then would take that data, especially more so with the UAP stuff, because I can see that a little bit more, go back to the DIA and say, okay, look, in the process of doing OSAP, it is possible to learn features, characteristics, even maybe composition of highly advanced aerospace pieces of technology from these UFO or UAP cases. Alien or not, that doesn't matter anymore. What that would translate to is a potential new contract. That if he was able to convince those that were on the DIA side, hey, look, you know, here's what you guys wanted with OSAP, but we can spiral this out and we can do something else. That is a possibility. I know that there will be some people that will hate me for posing that, but that makes a lot of things make sense. You have the Pentagon saying, no, it was not UFO or UAP investigations. But with this new one where they included UAP reports, that makes sense. It would make sense that Robert Bigelow would utilize that from the money that he got from Harry Reid. And of course, there were two other senators, Stevens and Inouye, who spearheaded that also. But it seems like Reid really took an interest in this. So he gets all of that money and starts putting it into, yes, the contract, but his own personal interest, trying to spiral that out. Going back to the Pentagon, that all makes sense. Because if they said they utilized UAP reports, well, he did. Was it a UAP program? Well, according to them, no. Neither was it to the bid solicitation. No mention of UFOs or UAPs, as I said in the beginning of it. So that sweetheart deal, what are the odds that someone like Robert Bigelow, who had this interest in UFOs, what are the odds that he bids on a weapons system applications program, gets awarded the program, and it secretly was worded the way it was, but in the background, it was intended to be a UFO or UAP research program, right? Like, what are the odds that he would land that? What are the odds that he's the only bidder? No one else went after that contract. It was only up for a couple weeks, posted online, accepting applications. Robert Bigelow had created the Bass LLC Limited Liability Corporation in January of that year. And yet the bid solicitation did not go up until, I believe it was August of 2008. And it was reported that Bass was 100% set up for that contract. Well, how did he know? In January, unless it was set up. And if it was set up, which in my opinion, it likely was, if that was set up, then at what point did the DIA want UFO or UAP research at all? Was this a spiraling off of the reservation a little bit, connecting it to the point where they say, okay, look, we can use this database from this international organization to look at what people are seeing, and the better cases, those that maybe even have a physical object to look at, we can utilize that and we can understand the technology a little bit more, reverse engineering, if you will, and take it, dissect it, learn about it, see what it is. Again, alien or not, it's irrelevant. That was their in to tell the DIA from an intelligence standpoint, this is why UFOs or UAPs matter. If the DIA just doesn't care, they're going to pull the plug, which is what they did. So apparently nothing came about. That missing 2 years, I think, is key to understanding this whole story. And I've interviewed Luis Elizondo. We've come a long way in the last couple of years of communicating with each other. And what I mean by that is, I'm highly skeptical about everything. He was definitely in that category. I'm still skeptical, but I'm also skeptical about everything, Pentagon included. So that's just who I am. It's how I operate. That's why I keep pushing for answers. But that sweetheart deal angle is something that isn't touched. And it should be. It's not pressed upon, and it should be. And I think it's supported by documentation or the lack thereof. Now, why is it that Bigelow Aerospace has been completely mum about this? He only grants interviews that I've seen to George Knapp at KLAS TV in Las Vegas, who happens to be also, as we all know, a friend of Senator Harry Reid. So George has great connections to secure those types of interviews. And kudos to him, because a lot of information has come out from them. But you don't go beyond that, right? We don't see him on 60 Minutes nowadays being pressed on what happened during ATIP and OSAP. Why not? And those are all things that I have really no answer to. I'm also curious to why not a whole lot of people are pressing the fact that Robert Bigelow got in with MUFON, started funneling money into them in exchange for the database of sightings. Now, I won't pretend to know that I know all the ins and outs of that deal, but I know enough to know that when people submitted sightings to MUFON, I highly doubt that they did so with the expectation that it would wind up with a government contractor and turning over their information potentially to a U.S. government intelligence agency. Did that happen? Well, your guess is as good as mine. But it was during the time that Robert Bigelow was doing OSAP that he was also funding the MUFON STAR team, and they were going out and collecting this information and seeing what was out there, what were witnesses seeing, physical descriptions, characteristics, potentially even, you know, UFO debris, if you want to call it that, and learning from that, never knowing or telling most of the people involved, hey, by the way, it's potentially taxpayer money that's going towards this. I'd like to know the details of that. I think we all deserve to know the details of that. Was the $22 million or a portion thereof used to essentially get in with MUFON, take that money that you and I paid for through tax dollars, and start purchasing information on UFOs? Does that negate any results? Of course not. But it all gets put into proper context once we get those particular details. We can't be afraid to ask those questions. I want to know. I want to know the relationship between all of these players involved. We know some, but we don't know all. And when pressed, it seems like some people may get a little uncomfortable and they don't want to talk about it. So I'm not going to point fingers with that, but I hope some of you pay a little bit of attention on when people are being interviewed and they start talking about the connections between X, Y, and Z, how some of these key players are connected. You can see some people get very uncomfortable, and I find that incredibly telling. One of the other things about this whole issue is trying to connect again, more of the paranormal stuff, less about the UAP, but more of the paranormal stuff with OSAP and that whole accusation that they were doing the Skinwalker Ranch stuff. Where I, again, lean towards a sweetheart deal that Robert Bigelow was going away from what DIA actually wanted, is the fact that none of that would fit into the DIA's mission purview at all. They're an intelligence agency or an intelligence arm of the Department of Defense, if you're not aware. This is a quote from their essentially mission statement online. At DIA, we provide military intelligence to warfighters, defense policymakers, and force planners in the Department of Defense and the intelligence community in support of U.S. military planning and operations and weapon systems acquisition. We plan, manage, and execute intelligence operations during peacetime, crisis, and war. You can see where potentially UFO information would be maybe valuable. But yet that's wasn't really what was going on at DIA. The rumor, the allegation, was it was more of the paranormal stuff through OSAP. The UAP stuff then, according to Luis Elizondo, was essentially branched off into what ultimately became ATIP. It was a separate program, and it went to OSD. Okay. So even though I can see a connection with UFOs and UAPs with DIA, maybe, and obviously they have a lot of documents that I've talked about on this channel before, that's not what the story is. The story is they were at Skinwalker Ranch doing research on cryptozoology creatures and stuff like that. That's the story. And I don't buy it. I just don't. If you were to take out the DIA and put in the FBI, okay, maybe if they were investigating crimes on domestic soil, that would be the FBI's jurisdiction and that would fit into their mission purview. But the DIA doesn't have an interest on U.S. soil of what's going on like that. They don't care if there's a werewolf running around in Utah. That's not their mission. That would be something else. That would be another government agency. And that's proven with history. You look back, you look at government documents, you can fit the intelligence reason on why they were researching, let's say, mind control. With the CIA, that was an offensive maneuver. That was something that they wanted to utilize against captured Soviet agents and so on and so forth. You can see that. You can see why the Defense Intelligence Agency, going back to them, would research remote viewing and why they would want that for an intelligence standpoint, for planning. So you can see the connection between all of that. Interestingly, the head, you know, one of the main people involved with DIA remote viewing and the Stargate program was Dr. Hal Puthoff. So it's a very small, tight-niche world that we live in here when we talk about these types of programs, but I digress. So the DIA, that made sense. Fringe, totally fringe, something out of the box, but fits into the purview. Cryptozoology, Skinwalker Ranch stories and lore, legends and stuff like that, I don't see it. So that's why I've had this huge problem with really kind of understanding what all these different stories mean, because there are so many contradictions and things that don't make sense. When you put it back to the DOD with Luis Elizondo, that makes sense. The question mark is, why is the Pentagon doing this? If they are 100% lying across the board about Luis Elizondo and ATIP not having UAP investigations, but sure they utilized UAP reports, let's just assume for a moment that they are 100% lying, which isn't a far stretch, but regardless, let's say that's all a lie. What's the end game? Why don't they just leave it alone? And yet they haven't. A lot of people are very excited about the UAP task force and the report, the coming report here in June, which I think is going to be late. But regardless, everybody's so excited that something is going to come out of that. My question is why? Now we have the Inspector General investigation. Some people think that will reveal a lot. Yet the Department of Defense, and I am a witness to this, the Department of Defense is still sending out these types of statements, not only the one that I'm talking about, but even the one that took their shot at Luis Elizondo, so to speak, and attacked his credibility. They are still giving that out, even after the Inspector General announced their investigation. Now, why do I point that out? Because if the IG had any kind of concern over these types of statements, I would imagine that the DOD would be essentially ordered to say, look, stop giving out statements. We need to evaluate what you guys are doing. That makes sense if the IG is doing an investigation. Yet, that apparently hasn't happened. There was a rumor online that I even saw that Susan Goff got fired. She didn't, by the way. I'm not saying that. I obviously talked to her yesterday. But regardless, like, that's the type of stuff that gets put out to the internet and people really glom onto it. And they want to hear that Susan Goff, you know, the evil character in the saga was sacked, you know, and somebody else is coming in. But in reality, that's not true. The IG announced their investigation, yet the DOD is still moving forward with putting out this information on ATIP as early as yesterday. And they are still giving out the information about Luis Elizondo, and that also is a fact in the last week. So there's this crazy agenda here, but to what end? Is the intent to create this massive amount of confusion? And I don't pretend to have the answer to that, but it is something that I think is worth pursuing and continuing to ask these questions. Because I'm not taking a side in this battle, but I am intrigued by that motivation. One other thing that came up was recently, that kind of plays into this statement with the Pentagon, is Luis Elizondo was asked by my friend and colleague Stephen Greenstreet over at the New York Post. Very cool guy. If you don't follow him on social media, he's very active, works for the New York Post, and he hosts a show called The Basement Office. You'll see Nick Pope on there a lot as well. But Stephen is the host of that. He did a sit down with Luis Elizondo and asked him about essentially the Pentagon saying no assigned responsibilities on ATIP. They are standing by that. They have not faltered from that viewpoint. They haven't changed. So Stephen asked Luis Elizondo that. This was his response. There are some people in the Pentagon that still don't like me very much. I think they're pissed at me for the way I left. They're now trying to thread the needle, saying he had no assigned responsibilities with ATIP. I had no assigned responsibilities because I was working Gitmo for the Department of Defense. These assigned duties, exploring the reality of UFOs, were coming from the legislative branch. This is one of the first time, I think maybe the only time, but the first time that I've seen Luis Elizondo say that his orders were from the legislative branch. I'll be honest with you and say, I had no idea the legislative branch could give a DOD special agent orders. And we know that, you know, the legislative branch is going to include the Senate. And the Senate at this time obviously included Harry Reid. We know Harry Reid has gone to bat for Luis Elizondo with his own letterhead and stating this was a kind of a reissued statement. He had told George Knapp a year or two ago that he said Luis Elizondo headed the program. He now put it official. This was for Gotti Schwartz and his reporting at NBC. And this was put online as well to support Luis Elizondo. And essentially he said, as one of the original sponsors of ATIP, I can state as a matter of record Lou Elizondo's involvement and leadership role in the program. So he's negating the Pentagon. Pentagon hasn't changed their stance on it. And I do know that they have this letter. I do know that they have commented after and that this hasn't changed anything. So it goes back to that question. What in the world is going on? And I will probably go to my grave trying to pursue it because at this point I'm so invested in it because it's a big riddle and a puzzle. Because when you start digging in, you have to dig in at every little detail and every little, you know, nook and cranny of this. You can't just blanket statement anything. You can't blanket conclude, meaning there really isn't one conclusion. There's not one answer. You have to drill into every little bit. And you can start drilling into Harry Reid and start asking quite a few questions also. Because that letter where he's talking with authority on ATIP, and he knows Luis Elizondo and so on and so forth, that kind of goes against what he has said in the past. And what he said in the past was about being briefed on the program that he never was. He never understood what they were, or never was briefed to fully understand what that they were going through. New York Magazine had asked him in 2018, were you ever briefed on it? In Harry Reid's own words, he said, no, I left everybody alone. Nope, is what he said. And so the journalist who wrote that followed up again, you were never briefed, not once. And Reid responded, that's not my style. Nope. So he knows a lot about a program that he wasn't essentially briefed on. So why was he giving orders? Now, I'm assuming that it was Senator Harry Reid, but who else was pointing the fingers and ordering Luis Elizondo around? Right. And that doesn't make sense. It would be anybody else. I mean, we can see a clear, not only interest, but involvement from the inception of it to whenever he got involved and started giving orders to OSD. So again, I fall back on that surprise that I had no idea the legislative branch could dictate orders to a DOD special agent who was also working Gitmo. So there's a lot of weirdness there. But why was he calling the shots, or at least creating the shots for him to pursue, if he was never briefed on the program? How would he know? So those types of things, when you start drilling down, are so weird, it doesn't really make sense. Another thing that came out in this interview that I really have been confused about for 2.5 years, this is what Harry Reid said. Let me give you something that the press has totally failed and conjured. We have hundreds and hundreds of papers, pages of paper that have been available since this was completed. Most all of it, 80% at least, is public. You know something? The press has never even looked at it, not once. And then he goes on from there. 80% of ATIP-related material, he says, is public. But where is it? It's 2021. So he's been saying that the majority of ATIP is all unclassified and public, yet has never produced anything. I have reached out to Harry Reid's office multiple times in the last quite a few months, if not a year plus, trying to get answers. Never once have received a response or call back. So for whatever reason, I call this mud, because if you say 80% about a program is public, there's no reason that the Pentagon could not get their story straight on something. If we were talking about the next generation stealth fighter, sure, I can understand how things will get muddy. You're talking about highly classified secrets going into the private sector with programs that were probably authorized with black money, so on and so forth. But that's not what this is. For all the evidence put together, there's a lot of stuff that's very public about this. OSAP was always posted online. So you have those very public elements. So I would believe this statement, but nobody's ever produced anything. So what I would recommend to you guys is continue asking questions. I will hopefully have a story coming out very soon that will be very interesting. We'll put it and leave it at that. But it will add to this narrative that there is something weird going on. There is something about this program, whatever it might be, that they don't want to talk about. The DOD is not afraid to say UAPs, to say they have a task force, to say that they are investigating them, to say that they've investigated them in the past. But what is their problem about ATIP? Why is it so secretive? What is their problem with Luis Elizondo? Why is that so muddy? So it doesn't matter what side of the fence you fit on. I know some people hate me for bringing up the questions, but you got to ask the questions. Because the answers that are coming out, it's creating a much bigger picture, something that we haven't fully grasped or understood yet. That is what's going on and unfolding with these questions. And I think that the story that I will push out to you guys pretty quick will also add that there are some very interesting elements that have yet to unfold. And I'm excited to bring it to you. So I hope that wasn't too long-winded for you, but I hope you guys got a little bit of a background on not only the new statement, But obviously some of that supporting evidence and the material that's been around for the last couple of years. But as I can attest to, sometimes it's largely forgotten about until we make a video like this and kind of refresh all of our memories about it. So until next time, I look forward to the next time the Pentagon wants to throw their own bucket of mud sludge into the water, but I will do my best to try and make sense of it. I am always thrilled to see your comments, whether good or bad. Just be nice, and I'll be nice back to you. Put them down there if you're watching on YouTube. And of course, a big, big thumbs up is what I aim for. Make sure you're subscribed to the channel. And the biggest help of all is sharing the content. If you find it valuable, I know sometimes it's long and it's a lot of information, but if you find it valuable, sharing it is the biggest help to me. And for those who are interested into pitching in to support the site, I have a Patreon as well. That also is in a link below. That being said, this is John Greenwald Jr. signing off, and we'll see you next time.